And now to share thoughts with us is a lady that I've known for ages, ages, ages. She is retired from being an air traffic controller, but that's just one of the things that I can tell you about her. Most things I can't tell you. I can't give away big secrets. But she, air traffic controller, that's okay, isn't it? Boy, I didn't even see anybody bowing their heads for that. Thank you, honey. Thank you, mommy. But she's been one of my favorites for a long time. There is nobody like her. She's one of a kind. One of a kind. She lives between Windham, Maine, and Florida, and shares herself once in a while out here. She used to live out here with us, but got too big a deal, and she left us. But she is here tonight to share, with my twisting of her arm. She's going to share some of her thoughts with us tonight. Is that neat? Huh?
Yes.
Yes! And while she does that, not just Reese, I'm going to ask you to hold in your prayers, but Lindy. Most of you know Lindy, right?
Yes.
Beautiful pink-haired Lindy. And she got so she couldn't walk around, and she sat in the chair right there. But she knew God really well. Wonderful giving messages from God. She retired from working a computer or something or other for Goodyear and I don't know who else. 30-some years she worked. She's just about the same age as Reese. And we just can't locate her. We know that she's okay, don't we? Don't we know she's okay? Robin's going to help. You've been calling.
We're trying.
We're all on any number of us trying. We can't get a hold of her. So hold the prayer thought she get in touch with one of us. And while we're sitting in here is a good time to do it, because if we do it, we're doing it with a group of us, and that makes a lot of energy, doesn't it? When we can pray together as a group here. So please do that as we continue on with our service. And now get ready now for this firecracker lady. And I do mean firecracker lady. Phyllis! My pen, I dropped it. You can bend over.
Yeah.
She can bend
right.
Better than I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, and I think I know a lot of people here, for those of you who don't know me, I met Millie in 1994. And the real estate agent was a member of the church. And when looking for a house, she said, "Oh, you should go there. Yeah, and I came here with the attitude of, yeah, right, yeah, okay, woo. And I'm kind of on the scientific side, so if you can't prove it to me scientifically, I'm not going to believe it. And the first time I came to a Thursday night class, I was ready to leave at intermission because I thought, oh, this is just, who's going to sit for this? A bunch of people, 40 people sitting in a circle in the dark? Come on. And then I had some tea and cookies, and a friend of mine convinced me to stay. And then I saw more that night than I've seen since, you know. I saw a lady across the room from me that had high-top sneakers on that glowed in the dark, and I thought, what an idiot she is. You know, why would you wear high-top sneakers that glow in the dark when you're in a dark room and everybody's... As it turned out, she didn't have those on. And I sat there with the attitude of, huh. And Millie came by and said, "How are you doing?" And she devoured me, "How are you doing?" She just sensed the energy I had was, leave me alone, I don't want to be here. But when the lights came up and I saw this woman wasn't wearing these high-top sneakers, I had to own up to it. I went up to the woman and I said, "Oh, I can't believe it." And she said, "Oh, tell Millie. So, you know, I stood in line waiting to talk to Millie after 15 people, you know, did before me, right? And Millie was so cool, she said, "Oh, honey, what you saw was Claire's love volume. But your brain didn't know what to do with that information, so it just put it in a way that made sense to you." That's what she did. So I was hooked. And I did Thursday night classes, Monday night classes, a whole bunch of different classes until my job took me elsewhere. Anyway, I did retire, and I do come back here every now and then. And I enjoy coming to the church. I enjoy coming to Thursday night class. That's what I did for years. But what she asked me to talk about tonight was intelligence. And it's kind of a... I'm just going to move this. I hope nobody cares.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank me. No, thank you. She asked me to talk about this because she said something about intelligent people. And it's really interesting since I've had this thought. I made some notes, but of course I left them in Los Angeles before I came down here today. And so this is all off the cuff, you can imagine. But imagine that your brain, the brains that we have, imagine your brain is a two-car garage. And if it helps to close your eyes while I go through this, you're welcome to do that. I won't think you're snoozing. Okay, so you're born and you have this big garage, and what do you put in the garage when you're a little kid? Well, not much. You're learning so much. You don't know English, or Spanish. You don't know. All this stuff is coming in your garage, and you're putting in these big, huge things, ABC blocks and all these things. You're just filling up this garage, and as you get used to language and touch and smell, those blocks get smaller and smaller, and you can put more stuff in your garage. Then you start school and you learn all this stuff and you memorize stuff and you put these multiplication tables over here and you put these over here, so you're stacking up your garage. And then you get older, you learn more stuff, you meet people, and then you have this other stuff besides your senses giving you information, like your gut or emotions, how you feel about people if you're scared. Is that guy scary? Is she going to hurt me? You start putting that kind of stuff in your garage. And the love that you share, your parents love you, your family loves you, your friends love you, you kind of put that in your garage. You know what love feels like. And you might put that in a special place in your garage because you want to get that. And then you get a job. You know, you're flipping burgers and you learn how to do that. And you put that in your garage. And then I was a meter maid for a while, so I learned how to read license plates. I still can. 30 years later, I can read license plates like that. It's weird because I have that in my garage. Anyway, you have all this stuff and you get more and more and more. So what is intelligence? Is it the stuff you have in your garage? Is that what intelligence is? That you're able to do long division? That you're able to understand things that other people... can you change the oil in your car? Change a flat tire? Is intelligence the ability to solve problems? Is intelligence the ability to have empathy for someone? You see them crying, you feel bad. If somebody asks you to buy them a cup of coffee, they're in front of 7-Eleven, and they say, can you buy me a cup of coffee? Is it intelligent of you to buy them a cup of coffee? What is intelligence? So, if you think about it, if you look around the room and look at every single person, every one of them has different stuff in their garage. You might be the best baker in the world. You might be the best onion peeler in the world. Whatever it is, you're really good at something. You're really good at a bunch of stuff. But is that intelligence? I don't know. But if you look around at every single person, you'll see that every one of these people has their garage almost full. And even young people have their garages almost full because the stuff they put in is huge. You know? I got to get that dress for Christmas. I got to get that dress for Christmas. It just fills that garage till they get the dress, and then it shrinks. But every single person here has their own form of intelligence. Can you see that? So it's important to realize, I believe it's important to realize that if you look at someone and you think, oh, what the heck? He doesn't even know how to change a flat tire. What's wrong with him? Well, he may be a neurosurgeon. I don't want him to know how to fix a flat tire. I don't want him to know how to fix my brain. And Millie's, when she needs it. No offense, Millie. So we all have an abundance of intelligence that we don't share with everyone. You don't know much about me. I don't know much about most of you, but you all have this intelligence that is kind of inside you that you don't know about. Now I'm going to talk about the second part of that, and that's the emotional part. Because there are people on this planet that are so able to love people. Okay, I'm not one of them, okay? Somebody parked too close to my car, it's a rental car. Somebody parked too close and I'm thinking, what? Doesn't he want me to get in my car? As soon as I have that thought, I trip. Okay, I get it. not supposed to have those bad thoughts. And then when I looked at it, he hadn't parked that close. I mean, it was just an angle thing, and I was like, so I don't have that ease of finding love in people and finding the good thing. It's just not who I am. But here's someone that does. And what she has taught me, it's kind of weird because we had this conversation today as we were driving around. And she said, you know, you help people. And I say, Millie, you have helped thousands of people. You have helped thousands of people. What she doesn't have a two-car garage. She's got like an eight-car garage. She may not know it. And it is full of how to love people. How to love somebody who isn't nice to you. How to love somebody who is nice to you. How to love somebody who makes cookies. How to love somebody. I mean, you just layer upon layer of how to love. And the biggest part is that she teaches people to do it. What she's taught me about death and the fact that I better own up to everything I do because I'll be looking at it later. It's not like, oh, I'm going to hell and the heck with it, you know, like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go wherever, heaven, and I'm going to see you again. I'll see you all again, and I'll remember your name next time. Yeah. And but she has taught thousands of people how to love. She's given people the ability to relax and just learn and love. Do you all agree with me?
Yes.
You get that? That you can be so okay with loving someone. And it's kind of like expected. Well, that's not how I was raised. It's just not how I was raised. And if I hadn't come here that Thursday night and had that attitude and been shown not to have that attitude by who, you know, the angels that made those feet glow like they had high top sneakers on, I wouldn't be here now. And in fact, I would be in such a place that I would be frowning on people that knew how to bake, because what? Who cares? I would be frowning at people that maybe didn't know some stuff that I know. But I realize that that is just all what's in my garage, what's in your garage, you know, what's in your garage. All the stuff you know, that you are really intelligent. Is there anybody here who isn't intelligent? I just want to see. See? We're all intelligent. Just wanted to share that with you. And Millie, I want to thank you for profoundly changing my life. You took me on a path from, I'll say a little arrogance, maybe more than a little, and maybe impatience with people, to really understanding people a lot more. I don't even have one-tenth the knowledge that you have. I wouldn't even say that, but I want to thank you for what you've done for me and the people that I have influence over. Because you've not only affected me, you've affected, well, I told you about the four little ones, right? You've helped me, and I want to thank you for that. So thank you, Millie.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, do you want more? Okay. Well, see, I don't have my notes.
5 minutes more.
Okay.
Now what you got to come up with?
Okay, I like to control airplanes. I haven't done it in like 12 years, but every now and then I see an airplane going by and I think, turn left heading 180, descend and maintain 2000. No, I just think about those things. And, you know, it's really weird because for many years while I was doing that job, I didn't tell people what I did. They'd say, what do you do? Oh, I work for the government. Oh, really, what do you do? Oh, I work for the federal government. Oh, and then they'd usually stop. Because it was always then, oh, you do, oh, what a stressful job. And I'm thinking to myself, people have no idea how not stressful it is, except for two incidents that I remember quite vividly. Like, yeah! I still feel that adrenaline when those two incidents happened, but not my fault, but yeah, I was there. Anyway, it was like driving a bus. Mostly the same people get on at the same stops. They go to the same places. Three people get on here. Nobody gets there. And then, I mean, it was like that every day. It was just a different mix. Some days those people didn't come. Sometimes American 11 didn't show up. Sometimes United 130 didn't show up. Sometimes they were. Sometimes they were late. Sometimes. So it was always the same stuff. And people didn't get that it was It wasn't boring exactly, because there were times when it was really exciting, but those times you didn't want. But it was solving a puzzle. How do I get these airplanes all over there in that amount of time? Oh, I got to. So it was really like doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku or any of those, word search. It was kind of like word search. Where am I going to put that one? I don't know. Anyway, so I avoided talking about it because people just had the wrong idea about it. But now that I'm retired, who are you? Well, what am I? I'm retired. Well, I used to be. I used to be an air traffic controller, huh? Yeah. I used to tell pilots what to do. Yeah, I was pretty boss. Yeah. I used to make some big bucks too. Yeah. Not anymore, but I don't do it anymore. And I'm retired. But I worked with mostly men, and for any of you women that work with mostly men, and maybe for any of you men that work with mostly women, not sure how that works because that wasn't where I was, I learned some interesting things. How nasty people can be is one thing. I worked with a man who was so nasty. He was very intelligent on how to be nasty. One day I said to him, you know, I used to think that when I had kids, I'd want them to be smart. But after meeting you, I just want them to be kind. And you know that? He got that. He toned it down, at least around me. I didn't have to tell him too many times to be nice. But you'll appreciate this. I used to say, all right, give me your mother's phone number. I'm going to call her and tell her all those manners that she tried to teach you, they didn't take. And then that would, you know. So you learn when you're dealing with people that expect a certain behavior from you and they think that their behavior is always okay. You learn to deal with that. But there were some really interesting times. Hi. How many more minutes do I have? Oh, is this good? Okay. Well, I have some Aggie jokes if you want to hear those. No, I guess not. Okay. I'll tell you later, Millie. I won't tell them on the microphone now. They're Aggie jokes. Do you know what Aggies are? Texas Aggies? Texas A&M. So it's agricultural and manufacturing or mineral something, yeah. And they're known to not have their garages full. Okay, so one of them's a state trooper. It's a Texas Aggie. He's a state trooper. He comes upon the scene of an accident. Anyone from Texas, I'm sorry. Okay, well.
My dad went to A&M and my sister.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And she? Oh, she did? Okay. Well, anyway, so he comes upon a scene, an accident scene, and it was a bad one, and there were body parts in different places. So he says, oh, wow. He's writing this down. He said, leg in ditch, torso in ditch. Head on Boulevard, B-U-L, no, B-O-L, no, head in ditch. That's an Aggie joke. If you go online and you Google Aggie jokes, there are 1,000 of them. And some of them I wouldn't repeat, but they're still funny. Any more time you need?
I'm getting scared of what's coming out next.
Okay, so I'll talk.
Reese is from Texas, and he would appreciate it.
He would have, yes. I was in class with Reese in Thursday night class for many years. But mostly, I'm supposed to talk about love, because that's what Millie is always talking about, right? And so, did you love the story? Did you love the joke? Do you love Millie?
Yes.
So we talked about love, didn't we? Had enough? Oh, you want more? Okay. I'm visiting some friends up in L.A. And they have 4 kids. 7, 6, 3.5, and 3.5. And they scream! And they run around! And I thought I was pretty tolerant. I thought I had that tolerance in my garage. But as it turns out, I have so much other stuff around the tolerance, it's hard for me to get to it. Because I only have about, and okay, I think I'll go to the bathroom in the other house. Get on the computer, oh yeah, I'll play a little bridge. Yeah, it's just tough to be, for those of you who have that little kids around that are screaming, God bless you. Because that just takes tolerance. I don't have that kind of intelligence. I have only that much. But Millie would say, oh, love them. Just love, oh, God, oh, love them. And at about 9 o'clock at night, I do. Oh, yeah. But in the morning, we had cake for breakfast, German chocolate cake for breakfast.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So, of course, they were like, is my time up now?
Oh, you're not done yet.
I'm not done yet. Okay. Anybody have any questions? You have a question.
I want another Aggie joke.
You want another Aggie joke? Yeah. Ooh, the one that comes to mind would not work here. No, that one wouldn't either. My garage is not full of Aggie jokes.
But dogs?
I'm sorry?
How are your dogs?
Oh, okay. I'll talk about poodles. I love my poodles. I have two standard poodles. It used to be Rosie and Ricky. Rosie's in heaven now with Max, Tony, Amy, Abby, Claude. Yeah, you know how that works, right, when you have pets. And I have a puppy that's just over a year old, Roxy, and she likes to pick up rocks in her mouth and carry them. I didn't know that when I named her. But I couldn't have Rosie because I had Rosie and now I had Roxy. And I take them to the dog park, and they have a lot of fun, and they're really smart and very affectionate. For anybody who doesn't have a dog who wants to get one, I highly recommend poodles. Right, Linda?
Yep.
Poodles. They're smart. They're affectionate. They don't shed. They don't drool. If they're not little, they don't bark much. And they have one-car garages. They're pretty smart. Is that enough?
Tell us where you live.
Okay, so right now I'm living in St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm a resident of Florida because they have no state income tax.
Texas doesn't either.
Yeah, well, who wants to live in Texas? Oh, sorry.
But Florida?
Huh?
But Florida?
It's a legal residence. I have a P.O. box that's my legal residence. But I have a motorhome that I drive around, and right now it's parked in St. Petersburg. A couple years ago, it was in Naples. I just drive it. That's where I live, in my motorhome in the wintertime. And I have a home in Maine. If you look at a map of Maine and you see Portland, and you look to the left and you see the big blue dot, that's Sebago Lake, and I live that far away from that. So that's. What do you do in the summer? Oh, I have this chair that floats. You can call me Bob. Because I'm Bob in the lake. Okay.
Who writes your script?
My script? Well, this is off the top of my head. So Millie said to me, I said, Millie, I don't have my notes. I wanted to talk about all the stuff. She said, oh, just wing it, or off the top of your head. Well, this is what you get.
I thought, I had no idea that you were such a comedian.
Well, I was going to do stand-up comedy, but I found out you had to stand up. See, because you could sit down and do, okay, so you sit down, comedy doesn't work. Oh, that one you liked?
Is she a firecracker?
Yeah.
Kaboom.
Crack.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I've watched her for years. You didn't tell about what we did in the circle with your friend that couldn't see at all. That, God, sir, you should have told.
Next time, Millie. I'll replace that with I'll replace the Aggie story with that one.
Oh, kids. Who was in, Linda, were you there when
Our friend Peggy got her eyesight.
Yeah, I was.
Zechariah and Elizabeth.
That probably is 20 years ago. You think, Linda?
Yeah, look at my hair. You can tell. Yeah,
and and I'll try to tell it, but I can't tell as well as they can. But her eyesight was so bad. I mean, it was just really, really bad, Peggy's eyesight. She was considered blind, wasn't she? She couldn't even wear glasses. Is that right, Linda? And I looked, and we were in a circle, and I looked to my right, and it was Joe was sitting here, and this tremendous light was on him. How many have been in a circle with me? So you know pretty much what we do, right? Okay, so look, and here the light is on him, and I'm seeing Peggy, was her name, cross the circle, like in that end over there, where Jody is, and I said, and she's looking, stretching, looking. I said, "What are you doing, Peggy?" She goes, "What is that beside you over there with the, who is that, Ro?" And I'm, these are approximately the words. I don't have them exactly. Okay, can't remember that well. But anyhow, so what? And I said, "Do you want to, you want to come over and get a better look?" "Yes," she said, and she got up and crossed over and right looked directly at him. And you know, from that time on, she could get glasses that would help her use her eyes and be able to see a little. Didn't she even get to drive a little bit? Even drive the car a little? Yeah, yeah, got her license renewed or something about that. To me, that was huge. Peggy can now, yeah, I mean, her eyes are not 100%, but they are usable eyes. Is that fantastic? Who else in, nobody else in that class except you, Linda, and you, Phil?
I don't think I was in the class, but I remember the story.
Yeah, wasn't that great, honey?
Yeah.
To me, that's tremendous. And Peggy is absolutely one of the sweetest ladies you're going to find on this earth, and I know God just wanted to help her.